right. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Morning in the Word. Woo! Awesome. I hope you've had your coffee, had a good breakfast in you, maybe did some stretches with Debbie this morning, because we're going to be in the Word, y'all. I had no idea how biblically rich and relevant this word refuge would be, and y'all, I have been overwhelmed by God. There's just really no other word to describe it, just overwhelmed by God in my meditation and study of this word, and I am thrilled, literally just thrilled to get to share with you this morning just some of the things that God has shown me. And so I hope even this whole weekend will just prompt a word search study of your own, because there's just so much there that we're not even going to be able to get to this morning. But because refuge, y'all, is referenced, if you can believe it, around 100 times in Scripture. 100 times. And nearly half of those are concentrated in the Psalms, where we're going to be this morning. And only one reference to it in the New Testament that I cannot wait to show you. And you do not know how badly I wanted to include every one of those 100 verses in this message this morning and on your listening guide. But I know it is 8 a.m., y'all. I know it is 8 a.m., so I did not do that. But we are going to cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time. So I hope you're ready for that, and you have your Bible drill fingers ready to go this morning, so we can go for it. So let's go. Let me just pray for us really quickly, and then we will get started. So Lord God, I thank you so much for who you are, God. This is the day that you have made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. God, I am asking that you would give us ears to hear this morning. You would give us eyes to see. Lord, we want to know you as refuge. We want to know you as refuge, Lord. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so Laura last night did an amazing job, did she not, of just kicking us off? Absolutely amazing job Laura did. And she set us up right from the beginning, defining our word refuge for us. And she said it was a protective covering and a safe haven. I love that. And so I just want to build on that this morning. And I wanted to give y'all an acronym that you could use for the word refuge, so that 6 months from now, you'll be able to look at this word refuge and be able to, it'll jog your memory on some of the things that we learned this week. And so on your listening guide, you have it there on your table. It says on the umbrella, rest ever free under God enthroned. It's already in your notes. Rest ever free under God enthroned. That's our definition acronym that will make more sense to us as we go on. But instead of just picking one verse out of the 100 that I just wasn't able to do, I felt like the Lord wanted me to group several verses together to make 4 main points that I saw repetitively in the Scripture as I was studying it. So the first one that I want to do this morning is reasons. Number one, your first blank in your listening guide is reasons. They're reasons we need a refuge. Turn with me to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is where we're going to be, in the middle of your Bible. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Psalm 18. As you're turning there, refuge, what I found, is always written in the context of distresses, of danger, of difficulty, of destruction, all manner of distresses. It's always written in the context of that. In fact, it can't even be defined without the assumption of these things. That's why in our acronym, Rest Ever Free is so inviting, because we all know the reality of the distresses that plague us in this life. And so God is to be a refuge for us because we need one. We just flat out need one. And so I want us to look at this together in Psalm 18. Let's read it together. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cord of death encompassed me. The torrent of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, there's our word, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. David had an enemy when he wrote Psalm 18. And you and I, ladies, we have an enemy. We have an enemy. And our enemy is at least threefold. It's Satan himself, it's the world and its broken system, and it is our very own flesh that continually threatens our faith, and particularly our peace and our freedom. And so I just want to encourage all of us right off the bat this morning that whatever distresses you come into this weekend with, whatever distresses are in your life, there is a refuge. There is a refuge. And before we go on to our second point, I want to point out something so fascinating that I found in Scripture as I was looking at this. The Bible often refers to refuges as rocks and shadows. And what I discovered in my study is that they're not all good and bad. I mean, some are good, some are bad. So I think about it, think about shadows, for instance, like some of the songs we sing at church, that one that says about the love of God, and it says, there's no mountain you won't climb up, shadow you won't light up, coming after me. You know, where it says, no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Well, that obviously is a bad shadow, right? We can get ourselves into some dark places that we need the light of God to come and for us. And then there's songs, though, like Hillsong, Shadow Step, one of my favorite songs. And it says, I'll chase your heart in the dark, keep my eyes on the unexpected, in the wonder of your shadow step, I'll take another step. And that obviously is a good shadow, right? We're just so in step with God. We're so close to God that where he goes, we go. And we're just shadowing the Lord. And that's a beautiful shadow and a good shadow to be in. And so let's take, for instance, rocks in Scripture. So don't turn there for sake of time. It's in your notes. You can look at it later. But Deuteronomy 32, 31 says this, their rock, and it's in lowercase r, is not like our rock, and it's written in uppercase r. In verse 37, it says, where are their little g gods, their false gods? The little r rocks in which they took refuge. So it's not always so distinguished with upper and lower case as it is in here in that particular verse, but it is very clear throughout Scripture that there are two kinds of rocks and shadows, and they all promise provision and protection and peace and freedom, but only one delivers. Only one delivers. And you and I have a choice on which rocks and which shadows we will run to and we will seek refuge. And I want us to ask ourselves this weekend, what are the false gods that we may be tempted to flee to for refuge from our distress? I want us to ask ourselves this question, and it could be a number of things, and the list can be forever, because for some it may be power and prosperity. For some others, it may be people-pleasing, right? Just this need for approval, that we just need everybody, if we could just get everyone's approval, right? Maybe even admiration. And if not everyone's, certain ones, right? That can be a false refuge, a false rock and shadow. It can be perfectionism. It can be just the need for things to go perfectly. And like kind of like Laura was talking last night, right? It can be just that need for control. That can be one. It can be control. In Isaiah 28, it says that we can make lies our refuge. And really, it can be anything or anyone we value more than God. And they're all forms of pride, of thinking we know better than God what will satisfy our soul. So I want us to ask the Lord this weekend those questions, because here's the deal. It matters what rocks and shadows we choose. And she talked about last night having a choice. But let me tell you, it matters because, y'all, there are consequences. There are consequences both ways, both directions, right? In Isaiah 30, 1 through 3, don't turn there. It's in your notes. You can look at it later, but I'll read it to you. Listen to this. Here's the negative consequences on one end. and then we'll go to the positive. It says, "Ah, stubborn children, listen to this, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine, and who make an alliance, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my direction, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh, to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the protection of Pharaoh turn to your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt to your humiliation." Whoa, whoa. Whoa, we do not want that, right? And the Lord is clear. He shows us these things. But of course, we don't just want the negative consequences of the false refuges to be our motivation. We also want the positive consequences of making God our refuge motivate us as well. Like Psalm 2:12 that says, just flat out simply says, "Blessed are those who take refuge in God." And we're going to unpack that in just a little bit more in just a few minutes. But so we... And why is that? It's because God really is the best thing for us. He really is. There is no one and no thing greater than God. There is not. So we want him. We need him to be our refuge. We want him to be. But how? How do we do that? Matthew 23:37 says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wanted to gather your children like chicks under my wings, but you were not willing." Not willing. Why would we not be willing? Why would we not be willing? Which leads me to my point number two, and it's requirements. The requirements of God being our refuge. We're going to see that it's to dwell in God, but I want to look at that a little deeper to understand that. The Hebrew word, let me say this. Many of the references, if you were to do a word search, biblical word search on refuge, you would see that refuge many times is often prefaced by the word take, to take refuge. And so the Hebrew word for take refuge is hasad, and it means to flee for protection, to trust in. So what is required of us to dwell in God as our refuge? Simply to trust. We have to repent from the sin of false rocks and shadows and rely and rest in the true one. And you know what? God is gracious. He is gracious. He will receive us if we truly repent. He will. He will. And there still may be consequences for our sin, but we can be restored to God if we trust in him. Turn with me to Psalm 91, and I want us to look at this together. Psalm 91, it's a few psalms over. From 18, we'll move quickly this morning so we can take in all that the Lord has for us this morning. Psalm 91, as you're turning there, even where it doesn't say take refuge, this concept of trust is pervasive around the word refuge, and we'll see that together. So let's read Psalm 91, verses 1, 2, and 4 is what we're going to read. "He who dwells," there's our word, "in the shelter of the Most High," and I'm reading from the ESV, but all the versions should say similar things. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." There's our word, trust. Look at verse 4. "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings," underline under his wings, "you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler." Now look with me to Psalm 62. I told you Bible drill fingers, okay? Just a few psalms over. Look, go back to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. We're going to look at 6 through 8. This is our theme verse even. Now, we looked at shadows in Psalm 91. We're going to look at rock here. Verse 6 in 62. "He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him." There's our word trust again. "At all times, O people, pour out your heart before him, for God is our refuge." So now we looked at 91 and under the shadow of his wings. Now we're looking at rest on the rock. So he's telling us how to trust him. And first he says, I have a little visual for you here. First he says, we are to rest under the shadow or the shelter of his wings. Now, this requires humility to come under his authority. And then it says that we are to rest on, that we are to rest on the rock. Oh, wait, you know what? I want us to go back. Hold on. Before we go there, I want you to look really quickly at Psalm 61. Chapter over. Look at Psalm 61. It says, look at verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. It says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent. We're coming back to that tent forever. Let me take refuge, trust, under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. All right, so he says we are to rest under the shadow or the shelter of his wings. This requires humility to come under his authority. And then he says we are to rest on the rock that is higher than I. And this requires dependence on his strength. This requires dependence on his strength. And to come under the shadow and shelter of his wings and to rest on the rock both mean to trust in, to trust in. And there is protection and there is provision in this refuge, in this refuge. But I started thinking, what will determine if we will actually do this? Because apparently this is easier said than done. And you've got to see this in Scripture. This is so amazing. So it gave us a hint at the end of Psalm 61, that verse 6 that we looked at. It says, for you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Y'all, this fear is a healthy kind of fear that you and I need to have, that you and I need to have. And I want you to look with me just one more, a couple over. Look at Psalm 34, just a few psalms back. Go to Psalm 34. We're going to look at 7 through 8. This concept of fear of the Lord is everywhere around the word refuge, and I want you to see it for yourself. Look in Psalm 34. Okay, in verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. There it is already. And delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there it is again. So, oh, fear the Lord, there it is. You his saints, for those who fear him, again, have no lack. Do you see this fear? I mean, there's three times right there surrounding the word refuge. It's fascinating. So, what is fear of the Lord? Well, Proverbs 8:13 says this. The fear of the Lord is, let me say this. Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence and his children will have a refuge. What is fear of the Lord? In Proverbs 8:13, it defines it for us and it says this. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. So to hate evil is to love holiness. And God is holy, holy. Literally in the scriptures, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Holy is the Lord. And it's what sets God apart from every other false refuge. And why in the end, only the refuge of God will remain. Only the refuge of God. In Psalm 142:4, it says, look around, no refuge remains. Because every false refuge that you and I pursue will eventually evaporate like a mirage. They'll just evaporate like a mirage. Leaving us in our distress and leading us to destruction. But when we fear God, a reverent awe for who he is will overcome us and overcome our fear of man, which I found in scripture is in direct competition with our fear of God. Psalm 118:9 says, better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. So if you and I are going to take refuge in God, we have to answer this question. To whom will we bow? Will it be to others? Will it be to ourself? Or will it be to God, who alone is worthy? Who alone is worthy? Now, in Psalm 9, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to do it for you. And just listen to this. Psalm 9, it says this. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He's established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the people with uprightness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust, there's our word, our requirement, trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God alone is enthroned. God alone is exalted above all, supreme, high and lifted up, the righteous judge and ultimate authority for our good, and who alone is worthy of worship. Now, there is only one way that you and I as sinful people are able to take refuge in him. Remember, I told you that there was only one reference in the New Testament to refuge. You don't have to turn there. I want to show it to you. It's in Hebrews chapter 6, and it's in your notes. You can look at it later. But Laura took us there last night, and I just have to do it again because it's so important to our time this morning. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." And the NLT says, "We who have fled to him for refuge. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever." All right, in Hebrews 9, if you were to go a little further, it talks about, it's so fascinating. He's talking about the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, and he was giving the specifications for what that dwelling place would look like, where they would meet with God. And then it says this about Jesus, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with human hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood and goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." In verse 24, "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." Laura talked about this last night, and I just loved hearing it. Because here's the point. Jesus, who alone is holy, went into the tent of God's presence, and through his death and resurrection made a way for us by grace through faith to trust in, take refuge in God for salvation and sanctification. Jesus is our ultimate refuge and safe dwelling place. The Old Testament looked forward to the sacrifice of Jesus. We look back, but it all centers on Jesus as our refuge. Psalm 71:3 says, "A rock of refuge that I may continually come." And here's the deal. We will never do this perfectly. We will never trust in God and take refuge in him perfectly. I just want to relieve us of that this morning, release us from that. We'll never do it perfectly, but we can do it purposely. That's what God's calling us to do. Not to take refuge and trust in God perfectly, we'll never do it, but he is calling us to do it purposely. Purposely. And here's the deal. God knows our hearts. God knows our hearts. He knows who just wants the rewards that we'll get to in a minute without the requirements, and yet he knows those who trust him. Not perfectly, but purposely. The Lord knows. Nahum 1:7 says this, "The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble." He knows those who take refuge in him. He knows. Someone say, "The Lord knows." The Lord knows. The Lord knows. And he also rewards. Point number three is rewards. The rewards of God being our refuge. Okay, don't turn there. Just listen to this. But in Ruth, it's in your notes. You can look at it later. Ruth chapter 2, you know the story about Ruth and Boaz and Naomi. So in Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, Ruth is talking to Boaz, and she says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of her since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done. Here it is, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Y'all, there are rewards in the refuge of God. And God makes no mistake about it. He wants us to know that there are rewards in the refuge of God. Turn with me to Psalm 36. This is one of the last ones you'll turn to, but Psalm 36. Psalm 36, verse 7. And it says this, and this is where you're going to start just getting overwhelmed like I did. It's going to start here, and then we're going to finish up here in just a few minutes. It says in verse 7, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, his presence. And you give them drink from the river of your delights. Delight. Y'all. Delight. We get to delight in the most delightful one of all. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. That is one of the greatest rewards because it just doesn't get any better. You talk about freeing us from some FOMO, right? Some fear of missing out, right? That we can sometimes get like, what are they doing over there that we're not getting to do? Well, what do they have that we don't have? Who cares, right? I mean, who cares, y'all? If we have God, we have everything. We have everything if we have the Lord. We have everything. We have everything. I just want you to delight yourself in him just for a few minutes and just let yourself be overwhelmed as I read some of these rewards. They're in your notes. Some of them are. Don't need to turn there. Just let them wash over you for just a few minutes and just let yourself be overwhelmed. Psalm 2:12, blessed are all those who take refuge in him. Psalm 5:11, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice and let them ever sing for joy. There's joy in the refuge of God. Psalm 17:7, wondrously show your love, O Savior, to those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Psalm 31:4-19, you take me out of the net they have hidden for me. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. There it is again. And worked for those who take refuge in you. Somebody needs to hear that this morning, that the Lord is working on your behalf. That whatever distresses you came into this weekend, if you trust in the Lord, you take refuge in him. He is at work. We know from Romans 8 where it says he works all things together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. You can sleep at night because he is at work. He is at work. Be so encouraged. Psalm 34:22, the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None who take refuge in him will be condemned. Wow. Psalm 37:39-40, the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That's the kind of fear we want out, out, out. We don't want that kind of fear. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Y'all, the list could go on and on. I hope you'll do it on your own and find things that I didn't even find, but just be so encouraged. It could go on and on. These are promises. And y'all, God delivers. He delivers. I have seen it in my life. I've seen it in y'all's lives. I've seen it in your lives. We see it in one another. The Lord delivers. He fulfills his promises. But let me quickly say, taking refuge in God does not mean that we will not encounter suffering. It does not mean that. It does not mean that. Because it can be confusing, you know? I mean, some of the verses you read, you right? Like Psalm 91:9-10 says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. Some versions say no harm will come to you and to your tent. Like, okay, well, does that mean if we take refuge in God that nothing bad will ever happen to us? Is that what we're talking about? Because I know that the tent of my house has been broken into before. Like literally a few years ago, someone just shattered the glass in our house and broke in. I mean, that's happened to my physical house before. The tent of my body has been sick before. We know that hurricanes and cancer and all manner of suffering can plague Christians and non-Christians alike, right? So, of course, Scripture teaches us we are to pray for protection over our earthly and physical dwellings and tents of our home and our body. And God is able, absolutely, absolutely. We've seen miracles, absolutely. But what are we learning this weekend? That the ultimate tent and home for a person that takes refuge in God is God himself, that Jesus, through the blood of his sacrifice, made a way for us to rest in and delight in him forever. Forever. I love how the Message puts that verse in Psalm 91. Yes, because God's your refuge. Hear this. The high God, your very own home, evil can't come close to you. Harm can't get in the door. So hurricanes and floods even can wreck our homes, our houses. Cancer can ravish our bodies. We can suffer because we take refuge in God and stand for what's right. That can even happen. Yet no evil will be allowed to befall us. No plague come near our tent. Why? Because our ultimate tent and home is God, and nothing can separate us from him. Nothing, nothing. So it does not mean that we will not encounter suffering, but it does promise we will endure it. We will endure it. We will endure not by enjoying the suffering, but rather by enjoying God in the suffering. Jesus is our refuge, our ultimate tent, tabernacle, safe hiding, dwelling place, our forever and purest home, and nothing can separate us from him. Listen to this verse. Don't turn there, just let it wash over you. This is Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Here's all the reasons we need a refuge. Distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we know that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to compare to the glory that will be revealed to us. We know that. So let me tell you this, and I say this with all the authority of Scripture, you will endure. You will endure. Tell your neighbor next to you, you will endure. You will endure. Amen. Now tell yourself, I will endure. I will endure, because we're the hardest people to convince. We can tell everybody else everything but ourselves. Tell yourself, I will endure. I will endure. I will endure. Now, let's say all together, we will endure. We will endure. 1, 2, 3. We will endure. Amen. How do I know that? Because Jesus says in Matthew 16, 18, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. No, it will not. It will not. And in this life, y'all, in this life, there will be times that I'm telling you that all of hell may come against us. But I'm telling you, if God is our refuge, all of heaven is coming for us. I promise you that. I promise you that. Let me read this verse to you. And this probably is one of my favorite ones that I looked up. And just listen to this. So it's in Deuteronomy. And Moses is blessing the tribes of Israel. And he gets to Asher. And he's describing what God is like to him. And listen to what he says. He says, there is none like God, O Jeshurun, Israel, who rides through the heavens to your help, through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, refuge in some places, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrusts out the enemy before you and says, destroy. Whew, I love that. Amen. He is trustworthy and reliable, even when we do not understand. And I know that is the hardest time to trust in the Lord. The hardest time to take refuge in God is when we do not understand. And he knows that too. But he is worthy. He is worthy. In just a few minutes, you are going to hear an incredible testimony from an incredible woman of God. And her name is Janet Coleman. And you are going to hear about God being her refuge and God holding her in his arms in the midst of incredible suffering. Do not miss that. Do not miss that. Be here for that and hear that. Our last point is this: responsibility. Responsibility of God being our refuge. The first point was, what are the reasons that we need a refuge, and that was distresses. The second one was requirements, and that was to dwell, and that comes by trusting in him. And the third one is the rewards of God being our refuge. And we saw that was to delight in him. And number four, it is the responsibility. We have a responsibility of God being our refuge. Don't turn there with me for sake of time. I'll just read it for you. Psalm 73:28. Laura read it last night. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge. I have made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell of all your works. We are to declare who God is with our words, with our life, however we are able. We are to declare that God is our refuge. In Isaiah 32, 1 through 2, it says, "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule in justice. Each will be like a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry land, like the shade of a great rock in a weary land." Y'all, we're not called to replace God as refuge in people's lives, but we are called to reflect him, to reflect him. We are blessed to be a blessing. And even at this retreat this weekend, we are supporting a ministry like Vision Rescue to do just that, to seek to declare the refuge of God that we have come to know. We want to share that with the world in any way that we can. And so I hope even this weekend, around the tables with one another, we are encouraging one another to take refuge in God, to take refuge in God, and to rest ever free under God enthroned. It's really the only place of true freedom, the only place where true freedom is found. And so as we close now, I just want to share something with you that I feel like the Lord gave me. And I told you that, let me have just a quick sip of the water, sorry. I told you that as I was looking over this and preparing for this, I was just so overwhelmed by God, just so deeply ministered to. And in the process of that, I ended up writing a poem. So, I have written other poems in the past, but I will just tell you, I don't usually share them in public large group settings like this. In fact, the last time I did that was my eighth grade graduation. So it's been a while. So we're trusting the Lord here. And not my kids' eighth grade graduation, my eighth grade graduation. So it was a long time ago. But I really just felt like it was not just for me. It was for you too, because it came in preparation for this retreat. And so I'm just trying to be obedient and to this, as I sensed his leading to share this. But I just want to read this for you. There's a copy at your table for you to take home as a gift for you. And I'm just going to read it. You feel free to follow along as I read it, or you could just listen as I read it. But I just, my prayer is that this would bring together the message that I just shared and make sense of it all, as well as just be a blessing to you as you go today. So let me read this for us. It is a poem and a prayer for the women of HFBC. Refuge. From the howling winds and the hollow grins, there is a refuge. From Satan's lies and wicked ties, there is a refuge. From empty promises and hard losses, there is a refuge. From sin's deceit and mirage retreats, there is a refuge. A refuge strong from all that's wrong beckons us to come, to hide ourselves from all the hell that assails our purest home, to find the place that cups our face and says, "You're not alone," where truth is told and faith beholds the only holy one. There are two kinds of shadows. There are two kinds of shadows, two kinds of rocks. One will fail us and the other will not. One falls heavy and darkens the soul. One refreshes and lightens our load. One will swallow us until we rot. The other will protect us while we are sought. One may relieve but eventually betray. The other will comfort and eternally stay. One destroys us and wastes every pain. The other redeems, satisfies, and sustains. These are the wings to which we run, those that gather us close to the sun, to hear his heart and obey his voice and experience the freedom to rejoice, where hope wins and healing begins and righteousness is revealed within. This grace is where we were made to dwell and enjoy the peace we refuse to sell, where no defeat is ultimate and final victory is assured, for in the end, good will prevail and God gets the last word. Jesus, give us courage to follow you at any cost, because we know you are our haven that cannot be lost. We will not be put to utter shame and dread if our soul takes refuge in the lifter of our heads. Though suffering, we must endure until we live in heaven. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what he has in store for those who love him. So, Lord, make us willing and quick to repent from all other false respites when we are in danger or distress. Help us believe your holiness and trust your faithfulness, for you work wondrously and do everything right. In the tent of your nearness is all our delight. May we only bow to you alone and fully live under you enthroned. For your presence is our deepest joy and none compare to you. Forever you are worthy and of all worship you are due. So even in our griefs, may we rest in you secure to declare your glory, our desire, and your name, our refuge sure. A shade in the heat, a fortress in battle, a shelter in the storm, a strong tower, rescuer, deliverer, mighty to save, defender, protector, redeemer of our days, rock of refuge, shadow of thy wings, shield and sanctuary, safe to sing. Let perfect love cast out all fears, the ones that lead to death, but let remain a fear of God of the one that gives us breath. For there is a reverent awe that will keep us far from pride and purify our lives so in Christ we will abide. Though in this sacred space to ourselves we're called to die, the cross and resurrection provide the way to life. So cover us with your pinions, hem us in on every side, for you are almighty, our refuge most high. Amen. Amen. I love you all. I love you all. Have an awesome day. I love you. Thank you.